Little Limpets team up to form the Fab Five.
Team Meme Scheme Stream Gleam.
New racing championship shape takes shape. A hippo shape.
We catch up on the conversation.
Order has been restored to the galaxy.
It's the community. All the best ones are here.
First, this evening, our intrepid news team over at Hutton have been contacted by a representative of the League of Underrepresented Limpets, which, unsurprisingly, is the first time we've ever heard of them. Limpets throughout the galaxy have been up in arms over their treatment, forced to labour for long hours going whittle, 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 all the way to the nearest chunk of something, pick it up and bring it back, or condemned to being stranded in just one of billions upon billions of rocks out there around gas giants, some of them even have to scrape all the green goo off your ship after a pilot to Thargoid interaction, and that's just nasty. All they read on the galactic forums is message after message about how limpets are useless and constantly expire, or how their pathfinding needs help after they go boink into asteroids. Nothing but negativity. But without these tireless little minions, so much of the galaxy would grind to a halt. The mining, the data from strange things found out there in the galaxy, the war against the Thargoids, overfull megaships that, if they aren't milked of their juicy contents, would simply burst at the seams. The galaxy, quite literally, runs on limpets. However, the League have been working tirelessly with Manticore, affectionately called Mother by all limpets, and they've had an upgrade. Or at least their launching mechanism has. Rather than having one purpose in life, your limpets can now, by interfacing with new controllers, have a variety of jobs. As with all of the greatest get-togethers, there are five. Think the Beatles, the Power Rangers, the Famous Five, and even the Five Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Yes, there are five, we checked. Death, war, pestilence, famine, and taxes. First, there is the Blue Limpet, an upgraded controller that lets limpets behave as a prospector or a collector, first finding all those juicy void opals, then scooping them up. Then there's the Green Limpet, coloured that way so it doesn't stand out against the Thargoid ghoul over your ship, equipped with a squeegee and a bucket, cute little arms that do repairs, and its very own teensy tiny little probinator for sticking into immobilised Thargoids, Thargoids and Thuckers, probably as revenge for their shutdown beams or something. Next up, it's the Red Limpet, the League's very own superhero rescue limpet, equipped with a cape and underpants on the outside, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound and faster than a speeding plasma shot. This little fella comes with a jerry can of fuel, a crowbar, and of course those cute little repair arms. Perfect for chopping open your ship when you've had a percussive interface with the planet's surface and are stuck in your seat before rescuing you. Or just handy if someone's got a thumb out the window asking for a quick top-up on the old hydrogen fuel. Note, limpets aren't equipped for fleet carriers. Tritium fumes make them feel a little bit sick. Next, the Camo Limpet, the operative. With black face paint, usually wearing a ghillie and a bad attitude, this little guy is perfect at getting into places he shouldn't be. He can scoop, he can scout, and with his selection of lockpicks, crowbars and a cutting torch, is an expert at hacking his way into even the most secure of cargo hatch. And finally, the most colourful of our new little friends, the Rainbow Limpet. A true Swiss Army limpet, it's got a built-in USB stick, a set of screwdrivers, a few blades, one of those things for taking stones out of horses' hooves, and of course all the usual limpety equipment. The galaxy is looking forward to welcoming their new little friends and their limpet tamer, complete with chair and hollow whip. Don't worry, it's very soft and they say they quite like it. Aboard your ships in the very near future. Of course, it's mandatory, as with Super Ted or Banana Man, to say the secret magic word to transform a common or garden limpet into a super limpet. But when you do, that's when the magic happens. Available next week for more good stock. It's available. Controller size is limited. Limpets may not perform as well as a non-super variety. Manticore cannot be held responsible for any limpet-related collateral damage, including but not limited to personal injury, ship damage, accidental misuse of the probinator, and legal consequences of using the lockpicks. For full terms and conditions, you can write to Manticore at One Lovely lovely Little Limpet Way, Volta Orbital, Sigreith.
They say the devil makes work for idle joysticks, and many commanders have taken to drawing pictures on a galactic canvas. As seen in a recent live stream from the Pilots Federation, commanders have been traversing the galaxy and using the Adastro tracker to leave trails across the galaxy like a load of stellar slugs, and have used this to create images. Not high art, oh no, not for them. The recreation of the Mona Lisa on an almost unimaginable scale, not for them. The realism of Vermeer, nor the broad brushstrokes of Liechtenstein, nor even the join the dots puzzle for the gods. No, they've created a meme. Like a game of visual Scrabble, they've taken an existing picture, in this case the head of a cat previously drawn by members of the Fleet Carrier Owners Club, and added a head and pointy finger of a woman in an attempt to recreate the famous cat meme that was popular in the 21st century. I say this is not high art. Objectively, it isn't exactly a Banksy, but it is witty, a step up from the crew member from Among Us, and head and shoulders above the drawing of the male genitalia, which was definitely unsolicited. We don't think that this will be the last of such images to be created by pilots with spare time and a taste for art on a grand scale. We do, however, have a warning for those of you who might think that tagging a nebula is a worthwhile endeavour. Dav has control of the galaxy. He could decide at any time to turn it upside down, give it a shake, and erase all of the lines from the map. After all, now that Dr. K's moved on, who's going to stop him?
There has been a rash of rush building across many planets in the last few months as entrepreneurial entertainment moguls have been hard at work designing the next generation of Hippodrome. Not licensed for use on atmospheric worlds, or at least not those that aren't tenuous, the Hippo-Hippo-Drones are being prepared for the latest innovation. Baxies on Scarabs. Yes, after much hype, it appears that the two-up, boot-down, arm-to-the-teeth with no room for luggage Scarab will finally be making an appearance next week. Commanders will be able to load up with a buddy, riding topside like a charioteer and whooping as they hang on for dear life while sowing the seeds of destruction from their turret position. The racing and media moguls have unearthed ancient footage of chariot racing and reckon that this is just the kind of entertainment the public needs to watch whilst on the long journey to Colonia, or sitting in an icy wing watching the limpets go wibble, 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 picking everything up. A no-holds-barred contest for two driver teams. The race will see Scarabs in a destruction derby not seen since that car chase in The Blues Brothers or Arthur Goes Bananas. The name Herbie was retired after the copyright holder decided that being associated with bugs was a bad thing. The objective? To survive. The regulations? There aren't many. You can't customise your Scarab, though custom fuel loads and ammunition are permitted within existing engineering boundaries. Scrutineering involves checking the driver's wearing a remlock, just in case, and that's about it. There are no details yet on whether the Federation of NPC pilots will be invited to the cruise, or whether it's only Pilots Federation members that are allowed to take part. But we're eager to see the start of the season, the team liveries, the pit walk, and of course, as with Formula One from the year 2021, the drivers attempting to punt each other off the circuit at every opportunity and claim it was a racing incident. Now, if only we could airdrop these combat beasties over a war zone.
For too long, the Pilots Federation has tightly controlled exactly who you're allowed to talk to. Your designated mission giver, the lady at the passenger's desk of the nearest tourist hotspot, maybe the guy you pay your fines to. Okay, so you're allowed to chat to your friends, and maybe the engineers, if of course you've crossed their palm with cat videos first. But other than that, well, until recently, you've been limited to just staring out of your cockpit window at them, or as per the previous article, writing rude messages on the galaxy map. Earlier this year, to much cheer, the bar at your local station was opened, along with a handy little corner shop selling a random selection of weapons and armour that the proprietor picked up at the local cash and carry, and a selection of colourful individuals. You could chat to the guy sleeping on the sofa, or stare in wonder at the couple at the nearby table having an intimate tête-à-tête. None of them would respond. In fact, the most you got out of most people was indignation that you were standing in their way, possibly with a, "You looking at me, mate?" Of course, the most chatty individuals were the ones hanging around on the corners of corridors. The whispered invitations, the sly looks, the just need a little job doing chats. Or, of course, the security patrols, whose conversation was limited to, "Oi, I want a word with you." And then possibly some punctuation courtesy of their sidearm. But the powers that be have now licensed a little more conversation down on planets. From next week, people will actually want to talk to you. What about? Well, we know not. We've heard a rumour that will include stranded pilots at crash sites, random strangers at settlements, and maybe, just maybe, mysterious contacts mid-mission, maybe trying to persuade you not to assassinate them. For the time being, though, it's back to simply emoting your way across the galaxy. Talk to the hand, because the pumpkin's not listening.
The temporary calm we saw last week has been broken by three pirate attacks, but generally the situation across Hutton space is fair, becoming good later. Our listener will no doubt be pleased to hear that order has once again been restored to the galaxy, as Barnard's star has returned to its rightful place at the arse end of the Hutton Systems League. On a brighter note, it is the only Hutton system currently below 40%, albeit only by a Nat's Nadger on 39.7. This is, of course, if you ignore the three systems that are actually on 40%, the three being AVIC, Ross-671 and Epsilon Indy. Further, in AVIC, Sirius Corporation are only currently 9% behind Hutton and have been a mere 3% behind yesterday, so let's insert a bit of daylight between poor little Hutton and the evil megagalactic corporation that only control 14 systems? Pah! Last week's brief pirate attacking Kakari was clearly a test, as pirates have laid siege to no fewer than three of our systems this week. Trepin has been relieved as I speak, but PSPF-LF2 and George's Pants are currently being given a jolly good rogering by the pirate filth. Yes, it's time to get your hands dirty in George's Pants. And those of you with a Corvette persuasion should make like the very models of a modern Vice Admiral and get busy shredding some hulls. Well done to those commanders that answered last week's call and halted the slide of Ross 671, which had inexplicably sunk like a stone by 12 points in the previous week. A bit more of a push in there and we'll see them restored to a healthier position. Here in the Hutton Hotpit Master Situation Room at the Orbital, or to give it its official title, Broom Cupboard Number 2, we are waiting with bated breath. Not because some folks don't like us breathing, oh no, but because we're waiting to see which dump we've expanded into from Wolf 124. I'd better get on with this reporter's floor mopping guy. I'll be back soon for his tea break. Oh, the Pong. I can't believe he eats in here too. Grand Maths Whiz, Vizier Hanky, Grand Kazi of all the Colonias, asked that Tuckers help Hotcoal fight in their war in Pythias against Societist Eridutorium de Civitas Dei, that foreign lot, and boost Hotcoal influence in Eol Procol Harum Centauri. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems League, we have six systems above 60%, including four over 70, including, as mentioned earlier, Wolf 124, from where we will jump to a dump shortly. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard's Star, AVIC and Ross 671, or if you're on an adventure holiday and slumming it out in Colonia, Eol Procol Centauri. If you want to shoot something, clear the pirates out of PSPS-LF2 and George's Pants or help out Hanky in Pythias.
Neither ammonia, snow, nor the rainbow, nor stellar heat, nor gloom of galactic night stays these adventures from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Here are some tales of events organised by fellow community members. As usual, links are placed in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. If you don't mind us saying so, the Comfy Cannon crew seems to be obsessed with mollusks. Judge for yourselves after you've heard this message from Commander Mephisto.
On the Comfy Cannon cruise, the last week was filled with researching different kinds of globe mollusks at waypoints 101 through 105. Cobaltium, Rosium, Nivium, Rutilum, Prasinum, and Ostrinum. Today, Khonsu arrived only about 50 light-years from Colonia at waypoint 106, where for some, a variety of Lindigoticum umbrella mollusks await examination. The crews will stay in the vicinity for the next few days, before resuming course on the last leg of the expedition back to the bubble.
The Wild Wild West expedition might have been shouting, "Look, Ma, top of the galaxy," this week, and Commander Quicksilver has provided us with a little detail of what we've done, what they've done even, and where they're going next. This week saw the expedition arrive at waypoint 13, our highest point of the expedition, a shade under 2,000 light-years above the galactic plane. The S-type star, giant star in this system, provided glorious screenshot opportunities for the keen photographer. Much fun and tomfoolery was had at all our meetings this week. Our PC commanders also enjoyed canyon racing and SRV canyon jumping. Our next waypoint, waypoint 14, will see our intrepid commanders venture to our lowest point below the plane of the expedition. From here, we shall utilise our carrier fleet for further exploration into a great unknown. Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky has finally been moving at a decent pace, but has hit a slight hitch. Commander Diluvian explains why.
Against all odds and Flossie's predictions, on 30th of November at 2016 Zodiac time, we reached Spongu Nebula. Stunning view and a bit scary. First entry, as there is a good chance you are going to hit the exclusion zone of the black hole that is the central object of the system. The purple haze fills up the system and the view is really pretty. Yes, it was a long 78 days to get here, but on the other hand, we roughly covered already somewhere near 50,000 light years. We're going to stay here till tonight, at least. Due to technical problems, Commander Dracomenda was not able to participate in our latest activities, and because for us he is a key member of the expedition, we're giving him a chance to look outside the window and enjoy the view. On the other hand, that is just our first actual objective that we can now mark as completed out of our list. If we trust Commander Marks, and I don't see the reason why not, the galaxy is populated with 246 large nebulae, of which 163 are procedurally generated and 83 are the real ones. There is one that we know of that's unreachable because it's inside of a permit locked area, Blyai 5 Yei H30. Well, and then of course, the Cat's Eye Nebula. But I've an idea for this one. We will be turning around and headed towards IC 5217, and that also means we'll be crossing the actual Formidine Rift. Let's see what the future brings. Stay tuned, Commanders.
The Magellan Experience has set off on the expedition that is wending its way across the galaxy to eventually end up at Magellan Star. And the proud Commander Richard Fluorinis M wants to let us know how their guests got on as they started on their way.
Well, the Magellan Experience, we had three successful mass launches, For the day shift, we had more than 60 participants, and we had Sally Morgan Moore as special guest from the Pilots Federation, almost creating a tragedy when she accidentally rammed a member of the Stellar Nebula project by accident by boosting. Fortunately, nothing bad happened, and we had a great mass launch. For the night shift, we had a reduced number of 30, but we still made a great example of a launch, and we had 8 people on the very early mass launch. The Magellan Experience staff sends a big thank you to everyone for behaving. As of right now, we're officially launched, with some people being at waypoint 4 of the expedition's total of 22 already, but are taking their time exploring.
The latest 5-year tour, the Southern Nebula Journey, is barreling along, and Commander Hunter has obviously been multitasking, as he's been able to fly and send us a message, which probably explains why it's short. Hello everyone, the 5-year tour is hitting its halfway point this weekend as we approach the Crab Nebula. With nearly 6,000 jumps combined, we've travelled over 330,000 light years. Another commander has fallen and will be dearly missed, whoever they are. The fantastically frigid trip to Triffid is just about to set off. If you miss the launch, you can still scan their high wake signature if you're quick. Richard Fluvenis M had time to tell us more about this expedition with an emphasis of helping new pilots.
The fantastically frigid Triffid Nebula trip is launching today. Albeit a bit reduced compared to Magellan with just 35 people, these individuals are ready to have fun celebrating the Sidewinder Syndicate's 5th expedition. See you on launch at Hutton Orbital.
And finally this week, Commander Omega Megalith is very nearly packed for his exobiology-focused long-range expedition that sets off tomorrow. He sent this communique to let us know just how excited they all are.
First and foremost, thanks to Hutton Orbital Radio for hosting Nexus on your show. It means a lot to me and many of the other commanders. Our group is no better than any other, but what separates us apart from the rest is that we are multi-organisational. We don't care what squad you come from, as long as you contribute to the cause. Each day, more and more players come in to be part of this. Some are curious and some are adventurous, wanting to head out to the black, and that has the founders highly motivated to do their part. In fact, some fleet carrier captains got a head start to the black, and some are leaving a couple of days in advance. Unlike other groups that have a leader and structure, here in Nexus there are no leaders, only mentors and those who want to explore. The fleet carrier owners make the majority of the decisions. I merely make recommendations on route planning. Carrier owners are the heart of this operation, and we relish seeing just how these amazing investments can keep us sustained out in the deep. We really didn't think this trip would get as big as it has, and it hasn't started yet. What gives me the confidence to help organise this event are the many, many commanders wanting to be part of it. Some sceptics have claimed that there is nothing between the Errant Marches and Vulcan Gate region. I beg to differ. This is a big galaxy with big space and a lot of unknown out there. What made us decide to head this way was that not enough of these two regions have been explored. And while there are others going to more dense areas where plenty of commanders have gone previously, few have travelled this way. And so we want to be the discoverers and scientists of these two regions. Since many of us have yet to depart, there will be a departing ceremony in the Brani system at the fleet carrier Legacy of Dawn, as the owner is a teacher when not in his ship, and his students wrote a good luck letter to the members of the expedition. More details are in the Discord page. If I can put one word to this expedition and the emotions that I think most commanders are feeling for this trip, is ambitious. Therefore, whether anyone comes before or catches up after departure, you have the ambition to head into the black, and that says a lot about you and your character. Be part of this and help make this experience an amazing memory to look back on and say, I was part of that. Thank you all, and wish us here at Nexus a fun and amazing journey ahead.
And that's all of the community events news that we have this week. Email itookpart@huttonorbital.com to get yours included.